FM and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper, and we're doing a phone interview with a young chef. And Liz, who are we talking to today?
So, Jay, today we have Charlie Brassard, and he is with The Shack in Staunton, Virginia. Charlie, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty well. Now that all the snow is cleared, we've tried to do this interview a couple times, and between all of the crazy weather that we've had, we weren't able to make this work out, so I'm really glad to have you today, even if it's from afar.
Yeah, you know, all things work out eventually.
So can you give us a little bit of background about how you ended up in Virginia, because obviously that's not where you're from, and
no.
A little background about how you got started in the culinary business.
It's sort of the same old hokey story. Like my mom really sort of led me to cooking. You know, as a kid, my dad worked a lot and traveled a lot. And I ended up spending a lot of time with mom in the kitchen and sort of picked up a lot of stuff. And she was an amazing cook. You know, she's Haitian, so I sort of get that. I get a lot of some of the Caribbean background from that, but she was also an amazing, like, classical French cook. Like, we would have cassoulet and we'd have coq au vin.
Wow.
You know, along with, you know, tuna noodle casserole. Like, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't all wine and roses. But yeah, I was able to sort of, you know, get a love of cooking and things like that. And they really were very supportive of me. And they, you know, sent me to the CIA and got me started. And that's sort of how I started, you know. And I was also able to live abroad for a few years as a child. So I was exposed to a lot of different foods and cultures and things like that. So it was really, really nice.
Did your mother adapt her cooking style when she was living in Paris and London and Los Angeles? I mean, did she go ahead and do the local thing as well as the classic?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the great story is when we're living in Paris, the French don't eat a lot of turkey. so for Thanksgiving, there's this, I'm assuming it's still there because nothing really ever closes in France, this store called Fauchon. It's a very high-end gourmet store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they happen to sell turkey, of which they're not really plucked fully. So, you know, because it's Thanksgiving, my mom went down to the store, paid God knows how much for a turkey, and we're sitting in the kitchen plucking turkey feathers so we could have our proper turkey dinner one year for Thanksgiving. You know, it's things like that, you know, and, like, she definitely cooked a lot more French food than in France, and I mean, LA is LA, so sort of, you know, it is what you make out of it, I guess.
Lots of avocados and alfalfa sprouts.
Lots of avocados and lettuce and things like that, I guess. But yeah, I still think she stuck more closely to French cooking, and because that's what she really knew and knew well. You know, like I learned the basics. Like, I mean, the very as much as you can learn when you're, you know, 7, 9, 10 years old.
Did you know early on that you wanted to go to the culinary or a school similar to that? Or at what point did you decide to really make a commitment to it?
A school similar to that. Oddly enough, when I was really young, I mean, not really young, but younger, I wanted to go into hotel management because, again, like, I traveled a lot when I was a kid. And it seemed really cool to be able to run a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
but then, you know, just cooking is just more fun. And then, yeah, I mean, I knew basically when I was in high school just what I really wanted to do. And I did go to college for a couple of years and then just realized it wasn't what I wanted to do. And then my parents, you know, let me go to culinary school and follow that.
That's a funny way to put it. Your parents let you go to culinary school. I think that's always...
I mean, not everyone's parent, I mean, especially, I mean, now it's a whole different...
Yes.
Right, it definitely
now.
Has a whole different idea to it, but it's funny. I mean, now I think people's parents would be thrilled that you wanted to go to culinary school, but I know... I mean, I think growing up for me, if I would have said something like that to my mother, she would have looked at me sideways and thought,
"Yeah,
what?"
Exactly.
I know exactly where, because I was way ahead of you at the culinary, and it was not an accepted profession after 4 years of college.
No.
Everybody looked at me like, "You're doing what?"
So, yeah, I mean, like, but I remember being there, and like you hear the chefs over there at the time talk about how, you know, the students that were there in the 70s and, you know, early 80s, it was,
you
had a choice.
Yeah, you're talking to one of them.
Yeah, you went to trade, you went to the military, you know, and, or you go to jail.
Yeah.
And you know, they, like, given the choice, they were like, I'll go to culinary.
Fantastic.
So it's sort of it's a whole different world now, but just for the better.
So coming out of culinary school, did you just jump right into working in restaurants in New York, or did you do some interning elsewhere? Or?
No, I ended up going out to San Francisco for about a year, just because I did my internship out there, and then I went back for a year or so. You know, worked at La Folie with Roland Passo, and I mean, that was classic French time.
Yeah.
Like little bundles of asparagus and Parisian scoop carrots. I mean, things like that.
Yeah, working with
fantastic
tweezers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Working with tweezers.
No, tweezers weren't even even in the ballpark then. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And you know, California and San Francisco, it's a great part of the country. You know, but I really miss New York, and I came back. You know, I went back shortly after that.
Wonderful.
But yeah, basically, like right from Jump Street, started working in restaurants out of culinary.
So how did you end up in Virginia?
It's
probably a jump ahead
Ian,
there.
I worked with Ian at Judson Grill in New York with Chef Bill Telepan, going on 16 years ago, I guess. And then, you know, we worked there for I guess 2 years. And we stayed in touch over the course of the years. And, you know, when he moved down here, I was like, what, are you crazy? Like, who leaves New York to go move down to Virginia? Especially, you know,
Rural Virginia.
Yeah, it's not like it's
and
the
he's
big
like,
city.
It's beautiful. Like, and he's trying to get me to move down there. And at the time, I was single and, you know, lived the New York lifestyle. You know, like, would go out and really, you know, and experience New York.
Yeah, there's not probably a huge amount of nightlife in Staunton.
No, at least not
New
not
York style. Right.
But things in one's life change, and have gotten married and have a little girl, and it's just it's really great. You know, it's nice to be able to have the room and sort of slow things down a little bit and be able to spend more time with my family and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it took Ian a good 7 years
to convince
him to get me down here.
So is your wife a New Yorker?
Oh, from Connecticut, but yeah, I mean, she moved to New York when she was 19.
So
and she was in the restaurant business as well, in the front of house.
So how many trips to Staunton did it take to convince her, or was she right for it all from the get go?
She was the one that was sort of the driving force behind it.
Really?
And just I need to do one thing, otherwise Ian will kill me. It's Stan.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's fine. I did the same thing, but I would be remiss if I did not. If I did not correct.
They need to put phonetics by these things for me. I can mispronounce everything.
Hey, I'm from New York where there's house and street, so you can't really
There you go. Exactly.
We're going to have to go to break, Charlie, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, and I'm here with my co-host, Jay White, and we are speaking with Chef Charlie Broussard. Jay?
Yeah, Charlie, so what is it about the Shack that has gotten so much attention so quickly and put Ian and now you on the map, so to speak?
I'm one of Ian's greatest supporters and boosters. You know, I've known him for forever now, and even when he had the same grocery down here, he was doing amazing things, and I think a lot of it is just, it's him and his cooking. It's really soulful. He really he's one of the true proponents of sort of the farm-to-table movement. A lot of people claim to be, and they buy something from farmers, but like he really supports his community and supports the farmers and supports really that whole concept. I think it's sort of the little restaurant that could. Like the whole idea behind it, it was supposed to be a temporary thing for him till he got investors to open up a bigger place. And it just stuck. You know, one of his, I believe it was his lamb farmer, Craig Rogers, who owns Forest Springs Farms.
We love Craig.
One of the best lambs I've ever had.
Yes.
He brought food writer Josh Wazirski in for dinner, and he wrote this piece for about the shack being the greatest, you know, the greatest restaurant you never heard of.
Yeah.
And basically said that it's one of the best tasting menus in the United States, which is a bit of hyperbole.
That's high praise. You know, that's good.
But a lot of the praise that was placed on him was well deserved, and since then he's built on that.
So
he's been able to sort of do more things and get more people to come in and write about it, and gone from there.
So it's the format is like you just said, a tasting menu, right? So explain to people what exactly that entails.
Well, it's really just a prefix menu. You can places like Per Se or the French Laundry, things like that, they will do like a 20-course tasting for you. At the Shack, it's a little slightly more modest. It's 3 courses for $45 or 4 courses for $55. And it's a set menu. You have choice within the menu, but it's usually 5 appetizers, 4 entrees, and you can pick and choose which ones you want. But it's the price doesn't change. You get 3 or 4 courses mm-hmm. for you to sample what's on the menu.
So for people that might not know their geography, can you tell us where Stanton is and who is your clientele? Where are you drawing from?
Well, it's about 45 to 50 minutes west of Charlottesville. So if you keep going down 64 and shoot past Charlottesville, you basically the intersection of 81 and 64 is where Stanton is.
Right.
It's weird. Like the Shack sort of has this, it's a double, it's 2 different restaurants. In essence, you have sort of a more a la carte menu Wednesdays and Thursdays, where there'll be burgers and sandwiches and salads and things like that. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, we do the tasting. And on Sunday mornings, you do brunch.
Cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to envision a place called The Shack that has tasting menus and prefix menus. I mean, not that you can't have that, but, you know, I think of the idea and what Craig's told me about is these great local burgers that you guys do, which I love burgers.
And how many seats do you have?
26.
So reservations required? I mean, is that small of a...
It's walk-ins on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and then Fridays and Saturdays, it's reservations.
Okay.
We try to keep a couple seats here and there open for walk-ins, just so if you live in town, you can walk in and be able to sit down.
So are people coming from Charlottesville and Richmond and
points? Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people that come from D.C., that come from, from Charlottesville, from Richmond, from Roanoke. Before I started working here, I came in with my wife and Ian's mother, and we were sat at a table with somebody else, a solo diner who was driving through the area, read about it, and decided to come in, but he was from D.C., and he was going to drive down the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Huh. Fantastic.
It's amazing. So you've got 2 very talented chefs in what I am assuming is not a very large kitchen.
No.
How does that work for you, the two of you?
Honestly, it's, right now, I mean, I sort of, I'm helping Ian really more with sort of doing prep work and setting things up and also working on the new restaurant. Ian's there pretty much every day, and if he has events or things like that, then I'll step in and run the kitchen for the day for a few days.
So
like he was just down in Charleston for the Charleston Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah.
So he was gone all last week, so I stepped in to help him out.
So that was the perfect segue, Charlie. So you mentioned new restaurant. So can you give us any details about the new restaurant?
Yes. Right now we're still looking for space. It's obviously a small town, so the space is sort of limited. So we have a few options that are on the table at the moment. But the idea behind it is to do a much more casual concept, really to sort of take the a la carte things that we do here at the Shack on Wednesdays and Thursdays and transfer them to the new space. So then Ian can really focus on doing a tasting menu, 4 days, maybe 5 days at one point or another, if business allows. And then have a new place be a la carte. And the concept that we're talking about is sort of doing a Southern meet and three.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Used with a New York diner.
That's a great concept.
Yeah. Well, that kind of fits you both together, the Southerner and the Northerner kind of together in the one place.
Yeah. Well, me and Ian used to go to, there used to be a Howard Johnson's in Times Square. That's where the dates both of us. but we used to go there after we got out of work at Judson's and sit down and have a late dinner or whatever, have a snack at Hojo's. And say, like, how cool would it be to be, like, if I just open a diner?
Yeah, I read somewhere about jalapeno poppers.
there might have been a couple of jalapeno poppers along the way.
Well, Charlie, hold that thought. We're going to have to go to break. And when we come back, we'll finish up and let you tell people websites and all that good stuff. So you're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with Liz Cooper, and we're talking to Chef Charlie Broussard today, who has partnership with Ian up in Stanton, Virginia.
Yeah, and it's Ian Bowden, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, at least I got one of them right. So we were talking about the Shack and your new concept, and I think it bears noting that the new concept, it's hopefully a little bit larger, so you're working on a little bit more than double the size of the Shack.
Yeah. It'll be a much bigger dining room. It'll have a full bar. It'll be a bigger space.
Fantastic. So while we're talking about it, can you give us, for people that may have not heard of the Shack, where you're located, if you have a website, Facebook, all of that social media information?
Yeah, the website for the Shack is theshackva.com, and that basically you can link to the Twitter feed and Facebook and things like that. The Twitter feed for the Shack is Ian's personal account. So it's ChefIAB at ChefIAB.
And are you part of Open Table, or do you just call for reservations since they're kind of mandatory on the weekends? Or
we go through a system called, it's on the website.
Okay.
It's really the only place you can, you can call, but it's really, we really tell people to use the website.
You better go through the reservation system.
That's okay. Perfect.
Fantastic.
Okay, well, good luck with the new concept, and can't wait. I take 81 North whenever I go home, which is in upstate New York. We cut through Pennsylvania on 81, and so now I have a place to stop.
There you go, a place to stop off.
Can't wait.
So it's come to that time in the show when we like to put our guests through what we call our hot seat questions, and it's two questions. Should I do the first one?
Go ahead.
Okay, so if you are, let's say you're invited to a dinner party, which I'm sure you're invited to many, and you have your option to sit between two people of your choosing, alive or dead, famous or not famous. Who would they be, and kind of quickly why?
Ugh, these are always tough. I don't know. I mean, the truth is there's so many people. I mean, just to sort of be able to pick people's brains. And you could go with the tradition and taste it, like sit next to Escoffier and be sort of not all that creative about it. I don't know. I mean, I think really, probably writers. I mean, I think, I love, Charles Dickens, oddly enough.
Dickens and Escoffier. That's a good combination,
that's a good
Charlie.
That's a good. I thought for sure you were going to go music.
So.
I could do that too, but, I love music and things like that, but I love to read, and I, okay. That's really, I think it'd be more interesting for me.
Let me get my question in quick before we completely run out of time. What little secret indulgence would we find if I followed you home and looked in your pantry or your fridge?
Yellow American cheese.
Ah. Oh, fantastic.
Very good. The all-purpose grilled cheese sandwich. Really, yeah, real good comfort food.
There's nothing quite like it.
Well, Charlie, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit and talk with us. We look forward to a trip up north. And in the meantime, like I said, good luck to both you and Ian. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. Join us again next week for another edition.